first public hearing today, number one and two are combined hearings. Item number one is a rezoning for 801 Inkster Boulevard under file DAZ 207 of 2011. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at this time. Item two is a variance at 801 Inkster Boulevard under file DAB 117931 of 2011D.
Before I have the clerk call the applicants and other people to speak on this hearing, I would just like to let people know that could you please keep your comments to 10 minutes where possible. And for others, if some information is already being presented, if you could just bring new information to the table, would be very important. So I appreciate that. That'll make things go along a lot easier. So,
okay. The applicant is Mr. Parmjeet Shahai. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. And he is at 18 Blackbird Place. The applicant, if I can ask you to come forward, please.
My name is Brian Mansky, speaking in on behalf of the applicant. I am the designer of the units that we're proposing to put on this site. We have put forth to the city planner a plan to build, construct four family units on this property. We have worked towards achieving most goals that are necessary in fitting this property on this site to meet bylaws and requirements, with the exception of what we are applying a variance on. Given the shape of the lot, we have had a problem with designing the site to meet one particular requirement dealing with the spatial separation of habitable space from railway space. We believe we can address two of the three issues that come up out of this planning issue, if that is sufficient. Otherwise, we may have to do further planning extensively to redesign our site to meet all three conditions. The two conditions we can meet deal with the vibration problems and noise problems associated with being in close proximity to rail lines. We can attenuate sound within this building space by utilizing a specialized drywall product known as Quiet Rock to produce much higher quality sound control within the dwelling unit. We are limiting the vibration that can happen from passing trains by the building will be on a pile foundation versus a shallow strip footing foundation. Deeper foundation will give much more stability to the building. Now, the space we are dealing with is 19.6 square feet of one corner of the building. Given the irregularity of the site, the proximity of 29.2 feet that we're looking to stay outside of cuts through the corner of this property at a diagonal, taking a diagonal corner out of play of 19.2 square feet. So that is our proposal to deal with we can deal with the vibration and the sound control within that zone effectively, we believe. The third criteria that, of course, we can't meet is deals with safety, in that that's the third requirement for this setback. For safety reasons, they would like buildings with habitable spaces outside of that zone.
Outside of the railway zone,
yes. We got 19.2 square feet of the building sitting within the railway zone. One corner.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Madison, for coming out with the delegation. The 19.2 square feet, is it possible, in order to meet the third condition that you say you're not able to meet, which is the habitable space, are you able to, like I can see on here on this drawing, that it intersects a corner of the one bedroom?
Corner of one bedroom.
Is it possible to reconfigure the closet at all? Or?
It is. The room would be somewhat dysfunctional. It'd be quite narrow, long and narrow, given a closet in that corner, but that could be done.
Small area.
It's a small area, but it cuts into the vital width of each unit, as only so much width available for the bedrooms. We cut quite a bit into the width of that. That is possible at a compromise to the livability of the space.
And just from the planner's report, you've had a chance to look at the planner's report?
Just at the meeting here, the link didn't work. Couldn't get it locked. It was locked out. I couldn't get through to the planning report through your link.
I think on the report it's talking about of the two. I'm a big fan of infill housing. I think it's great that you're looking at infill housing here, brand new units. Is there a possibility? Because the report speaks about a setback of the easterly portion of the project. A setback. I'm not sure how many.
Well, we're sitting at 4 feet right now. We get, and that is...
sort of a staggered setback, right?
Oh, we had looked at staggered setbacks. We still cut into the corner. We'd have to push the front of the house almost to the sidewalk to get beyond that zone.
Actually, I should point out before we go any further, after the initial application, the plans that were submitted were forwarded to the committee, and those plans dated February 25th are out of date. The current plan is dated May 30th, and that is the current plan is what is pasted into the planner's report.
Okay.
And I have copies of that plan to distribute to the committee. What you've discussed so far is consistent with the current plan.
Okay.
I'll do that right now.
Yeah. Yes, please. Thank you. So, Mr. Maskey, by and large, you're okay with both the plan's report on the zoning and on the variance?
Yes, we can make everything work within everything else we have there, the fence. We're good on the parking quantity, the parking locations. Everything else within that is acceptable.
Actually, there's no handicap parking, and the zoning bylaw requires one space that is at least 10 feet wide. And one space needs to be designated for visitor parking as well. This can be dealt with in the plans that are submitted for approval for permits.
Right.
If it is not, then another variance application would be required.
So, Mr. Maskey, just having heard that, are you able to include a handicap?
Actually, we didn't dimension the two parking stalls that we have there outside of the garage. They are both 10 feet wide.
Well, there are no dimensions.
Yeah, there's no dimensions on it. You wouldn't be able to tell on that. But we made the two stalls.
So that would be a problem.
We had enough.
That would be a problem.
That's not a problem.
Okay. Thank
you. Are you finished?
Yeah, go ahead. Just turn.
Okay. I just had one question. Are you utilizing this new gyprock throughout the whole house?
No, just we could just utilize that gyprock, which we plan on utilizing around that corner for sound attenuation, if in lieu of building a closet in that corner.
Right. I was just curious. Inkster's a fairly loud street. The front yards are facing the street.
The frontage of the house facing Inkster is pretty consistent with the setback of the remaining houses on Inkster. And given contemporary construction practices, more insulation, tighter fitting doors, windows, the house will inherently be quieter than the older housing stock in the area.
Mr. Chairman, just if I could ask another question.
Yes.
What kind of, I noticed you have a lot of tree trees on your site, landscaping. What's the landscaping plan on the interior, being that you're closer to the sidewalk? Are these trees representative of that plan?
Yeah, these trees are representative of the plan and the bylaw requirement for quantity of trees and shrubs along the property lines. We have a bylaw to meet for quantities in these zones.
Just a question of the planner. We can ask for the species and everything else. Is that possible? What?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be part of the final submission for right. Permit. We'll schedule the landscaping.
You could make that. One of the recommended conditions is for the development of any building, a number of items, including accessory parking, private approach, garden fencing, or signage, for a plan approval. We could include landscaping, and we could include making it by the Lord Selkirk Westfield Owner Community
Garden. Thank you. Good. Just as you were saying that, the Madam Clerk was showing me which item.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. No
more questions?
I would like to just mention that one of the recommended conditions pertains to safety and to sound attenuation, that a fence that would be put along the west limit of the property line on its entire length. And that condition, it should be revised to say with a height of 6.5 feet over the entire length of the western limit.
What item are you on there, Mr.?
That is condition 1A6.
Of the rezoning?
Yeah, under the zoning agreement.
You never said the exact measurement. Now it's saying the exact measurement, 6.5, right?
That's right. And what I consulted with my colleagues, and this is a safety matter, something just to note is making it 6.5 feet high, it's on the second page of the planner's report. It'll trigger the need for a variance to the maximum height requirement in the front yard. And that could be dealt with later, at the time application is made to build the fence. So I have a wording for this that is better than what's in the report right now.
Okay. Are we okay to move along?
Yeah,
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Okay, just one question of mine. So that 6.5-foot high fence would go the full length of the property line?
That's right.
And that's the variances to allow for a taller fence within the front yard space?
You would have to apply for a variance.
Yes, because you're not usually allowed to build fences that high in front yards.
That's right. And, of course, the public service would support that.
Okay.
Everybody's clear then? Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. In support, there's Mr. Paramajit Shahai. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. And Mr. Brian Mansky was speaking on your behalf. That is all that we have registered for in support. Is there anyone else here who has not filled in a slip that wishes to register in support? So there is no one else here whose name has not been called who wishes to register in support of the application. Okay. Moving on to in opposition, we have W. Clark. Is Mr. Clark here? Do you wish to speak in opposition to the application?
Right.
Okay. I'd ask for your name and address for the record, please.
Pardon?
Your name and address for the record.
7938
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. My property borders on this property. I've been there for 23 years. Residential property, and we're living there quite comfortably without a multifamily duplex. Multifamily condo. My wife and my family were greatly opposed to this. First of all, like we're thinking there's going to be more traffic in the laneway in front of this property. There's a bus stop. Now, there's no parking in front. So they're going to be either parking in front of my house, or they're going to be parking maybe along the laneway or whatever. There's a potential in there for 8 cars. Now, this gentleman before me, he said they're going to be, if this goes through, they're going to be using piles for the foundation. Now, what assurance do I have that these piles are not going to damage my foundation? Is there any assurance for that?
I just want to confirm, sir, you live on Lansdowne?
Pardon me?
Do you live on Lansdowne or Brothers?
I live on Inkster.
793
Inkster. 793 Inkster. Okay. My property is adjoining to this property. I've been there 23 years. We are opposed to this.
That anybody has an answer to that question that you asked. Did you have anything else to mention?
Well, just I'm just concerned about the traffic in the laneway. There's a potential in this condo complex that they are going to build or they're wanting to build. Now there's a potential there for 8 cars. There's not room for 8 cars behind that place, and there is a bus stop in front of there. So where are they going to park these cars? And I would like some kind of an insurance if this does go through, if they're going to use piles for their foundation, what kind of insurance do I have against them damaging my foundation?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think your house is not that close, is it?
Well, they're saying now they're going to be 4 feet.
No, but how many feet?
I could estimate that. I'll get that.
Isn't there a... There are variance rules, or there are bylaw rules related to how far apart a house can be from the edges of its property.
Right? The proposed...
And this one meets all the requirements?
Yeah, 4 feet is the location from the proposed building would be 4 feet west of the property line shared by this gentleman. I don't know how far his house is from that property line. Something else is that this issue is more of an issue of real property, it's just not allowed to damage somebody else's property. It's more of a legal matter than a land use, land development matter. So it might be good to photograph the condition of your home before the construction starts.
Well, my house right now, my house has a, when the builder built that house in 1950, he built it with a heavy-duty foundation because of the railroad track. And now that laneway that's west of me, west of this property that they're proposing to build on, that laneway does not belong to the city, it belongs to the railroad.
Which lane are you referring to, sir? The one beside the railroad?
West.
The parallel, the rail...
That runs parallel to the track.
That's actually a city back lane.
Well, we've been told it belongs to the railroad.
Yeah. IV doesn't show that. The city's database shows...
The city don't maintain that laneway.
Well, the city shows that we own that property.
Yes.
So, okay. So we do own that property, sir.
You own that property?
We do.
Okay.
The laneway.
Okay. Now, my neighbor, on his title, that laneway belongs to the railroad.
Well, anyway.
So there's some kind of an argument there.
Anyway, the laneway is there. It's useful by the new system, what I understand. In terms of the pile, sir, you might hear, but you know, it is construction practice. They're not sinking piles to build an apartment building. house to hold in place a structure that's for families. So, did you have any more to present on this?
No, we're just, my bottom line is that we're opposed to this, the whole deal there.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have a Mr. and Mrs. Clark at 793 Inkster Boulevard. So I'm not sure if this slip was filled up twice.
Well, would you like to, do you have something?
I'm just opposed to it too. I'm their daughter. I also reside there. I don't think it goes with the community. I think it's a condominium. It is an apartment to me, a condominium. It goes up. You should build some residential homes next, you know, family. That's all I have to say. I'm opposed to it too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mario Bidnarski, 714 Lansdowne Avenue.
I echo Mr. Clark's statements regarding the population density and everything that's associated with this building. They're planning on putting four families in an area that is one-sixth of the block or one-fifth of the block, and there are only five other families on the rest of the block. I'm concerned about the piles going in once I heard that. One of the statements made was to photograph your existing foundation, and that would mean taking down walls, drywall, insulation, at great cost to us. And I'm also the one that mentioned to Mr. Clark about the fact that the railway has the option, it's on my deed, that the railway has an option at their discretion to close that lane. There's a caveat. So if that ever happened, I'm not saying it will, who knows, but if that ever happened and they used their discretion, then we would be definitely in trouble. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you, sir.
Marnie Karlak, Burma, at 706 Lansdowne Avenue.
I was sure to be here today because I wanted to voice my opposition to the rezoning for this property as well. I do feel for Mr. Clark, as I feel having a neighboring home would be a great addition to our neighborhood. However, a project of this sort is just, there's no place for this in our neighborhood. I believe the integrity of our neighborhood as a single family dwelling needs to be upheld. 7 years ago, when I first began looking for a house, what attracted me to this little pocket area was the availability nearby of the churches, the schools, small grocery store nearby, and all the single-family houses, which seemed to have all been upkept very nicely. And it was a great feel to the neighborhood. And I can assure you, had there been a big multifamily dwelling on the corner, I would have looked elsewhere. I was born and raised in the North End. I'm very familiar with how quickly neighborhoods can turn. And I applaud the efforts of infill housing and affordable housing. As a single parent, very low income, single income woman, I definitely applaud efforts for the opportunity of affordable housing. However, this project would be great, but not in the proposed area where it is. So I would like you to reconsider about keeping the zoning as is, single family dwelling. Thank you. Sorry, one more thing in regards. Also, when I bought my house 7 years ago, there was something to my title and deed as well, and it said that the rights to my land could be belonged to the railway as well. So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just so you know, there is no such caveat on the
there isn't?
Not on the applicant site. I'm looking at the staff's title. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's clarify that right now. Just to put this on the record, in this particular piece of property where we're looking at building this home, there is no such caveat placed upon particular piece of property in question. That doesn't mean, though, that their homes aren't necessarily. It could be an old agreement that never got straightened out.
That's true.
Yeah. So, but this particular property is not has no encumbrance, no caveat or anything in regards to the usage of that land. And it could be an old railway. As it's been mentioned, some of the homes around there are much older, and that lane has been around for quite a while, so it's probably that. The woman?
Yes, she has.
Okay. Did anybody have questions? All right.
Karen Clark, 793. Okay, so you were the Mrs. Clark and the other slip? Okay. Is there anyone else whose name has not been called who wishes to register in opposition to this application? Is there anyone here who whose name has not been called who wishes to register for information or speak in information regarding this application? And therefore, the applicant, Mr. Brian Nansky.
To address some of the concerns on this property, we can say that we have met the requirements set forth in zoning with concern to the quantity of parking required for the units we put in place here. We have proposed 4 family units. Each unit is a minimum 3-bedroom unit, so these are family homes. Condominium means that this is home ownership, not rental. These people have just as much of a vested interest in living in a neighborhood as anybody else owning a home has within the neighborhood. We've kept the mass of the building down to 2 stories in height, consistent with other single-family neighborhoods, and it more or less resembles a large duplex. With respect to putting the building on piles, it is a much more stable foundation system for a house, especially withstanding some of the vibration that can happen by a train passing by. These piles are not driven piles, they're drilled in place piles, so it's a very invasive procedure, digging a standard excavation like you would for any other foundation. And then from that point, drilling down approximately 20 to 25 feet, filling it with concrete, putting it in, putting the piles in place. It is incumbent upon the builder to protect the land, his excavation that he does make, from any damage that can happen to adjacent properties. This, by the most part, could be the cave-in of soils, which would be taken care of through shoring if we find that the area is either silt-laden or other soil types or soil moisture content that could cause any sort of cave-ins of soil exposing adjacent foundations. That's standard construction practice.
Brian, did you mention that each unit would have 3 bedrooms?
That's correct. The way we've designed this, no, you haven't seen the entire plan, because this is a plan that represents the footprint at the main floor. Each unit shares half the basement. Each unit, an upper unit and a lower unit. We've configured a staircase internally that allows each unit to share half the basement. They can get one more bedroom in, one more bathroom. Their furnace, they get separate furnaces. There's no shared services with one another in the space.
So they could develop a third bedroom in the basement.
Correct. Yeah, and it gets full, like I say, full space down there. Their laundry, they got storage. They have room for a bedroom, all within that area. So the people on the second floor have, I say, direct access right into the basement as well. So it gives a lot of good living area in relatively more compact space.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Mr. Massey. Mr. Massey, what's the value of each house? The market value housing?
The market value of the house, the builder would have to tell me what his market value, what his selling value of the...
What's the range?
If we did on 260 to 270.
For each unit?
Yeah.
And these are including, we've got a detached garage. Four of the parking stalls are within the detached garage.
Is that optional?
I believe that's going to be built as part of the development.
Because it indicates it is optional.
It says optional garage. Okay, the garage is, okay, it's an optional garage to the purchasers. And the parking density we're looking at here is the usual 1.5 parking stalls per unit is what we allow for on the parking. And city bylaws allow for street parking. People can park wherever they can or want to within street areas, but at the 1.5 level, that is sufficient parking for any single family or multifamily residence.
Okay, there's no other questions from what I hear. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Clark, sorry, you're not allowed to speak. One of the citizens is
standing
up.
Just so everybody understands, the process involved here is that there's people in support of the application, and then there's people who are against it, and then the applicant does have the right to a rebuttal to clarify their positions on any questions that arise, but there is no more time set aside to hear from the public anymore on this hearing. It's kind of up to the committee now to make a decision in regards to the applications.
I have one question.
No, actually, in the public hearing brochure, it spells out the process. The applicant is heard first. Then those in support of the application have an opportunity to speak. Those for in opposition, and then those for information. And it's only the applicant that has the opportunity to come back in rebuttal. Yeah. So when you were up at the table, that was your opportunity to speak.
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
You're prepared to make a motion? Okay. Yeah. This is on the rezoning?
On the rezoning and the variance.
Okay, so you're making a motion first on the rezoning?
On the rezoning, correct.
On the variance, okay. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, I've moved that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, carried.